Welcome to the Family Business Connection, a Prairie Family Business Association podcast where we lift up the stories behind family businesses who thrive for generations. I'm your host, Stephanie Larscheid. On Family Business Connection, we explore the topics our family business members request most often: communication, culture, innovation, leadership, strategy, and succession, through hearing from the family business leaders who are solving problems day in and day out and building a legacy for their businesses and their families. In our first ever episode, we welcome both Jen Barlin and Kyle Bender to Family Business Connection. Jen is president and Kyle is executive vice president of Falcon Plastics, a plastic injection molding company based in Brookings, South Dakota. As third generation of Falcon Plastics, you'll hear Jen and Kyle's stories of growing up in the business and how they grew from paper shredders as kids to key leaders today. They discuss the mentorship strategies they use to prepare for their current leadership roles and the importance of communication in a second to third generation transition. Lastly, they touch on what it's like to work with your cousin and what excites them about the future of Falcon. A quick side note, with Jen recently welcoming her second child to her family and just returning from maternity leave, we recorded separate conversations with Jen and Kyle. First, you'll hear my conversation with Jen, followed by my conversation with Kyle. Thanks for joining us on our first ever episode of Family Business Connection. Before we get into the conversations, here's a word from our sponsor, Schwann Financial Group. We want to say a big thank you to this episode's sponsor, Schwann Financial Group. Schwann Financial Group helps families implement their own master plan. The master plan is unique to each family, and several of our families have implemented their own master plan with Schwann Financial Group. Families value Schwann Financial Group's holistic and integrated planning process that provides a clear path to follow. Plus, they are a family business themselves. Learn more at schwannfg.com. Welcome to our inaugural podcast episode. We're thrilled to have Jen Barlin of Falcon Plastics with us. And we also have our episode with Kyle Bender to go along with this. Jen is president of Falcon Plastics and Kyle as vice president. We have a lot of lessons to share about leadership. Let's dive into it. Talk about entering the family business as a young professional.
Absolutely. Yeah, that can be really difficult. You have a group of individuals, and if you have longevity in your workforce, you have a group of individuals that watched you from the time you were born and growing up and then becoming a leader in the business. And so it's been an interesting journey, a very vulnerable journey, one that I'm very appreciative of the employees of Falcon for watching me through all those phases of my life and is still accepting me and looking at me in a leadership role. But yeah, it took a lot of work. I didn't necessarily grow up around the business. So I lived in Virginia when I was younger, and I moved back for college. And so I held a number of different roles at Falcon Plastics throughout college, to include being a janitor at one point, working on the floor, working in assembly, working in customer service, and HR support role. So I worked basically in a number of different roles wherever they needed me. I was willing to go help wherever I could. Never really intending to be a part of the business long term. Like I mentioned, it wasn't something I grew up around. And so it was more or less just another job for me while I was in college. I had three jobs and this was one of them. And so when I graduated, there was an opening in a marketing position. And so I was really interested in that. So I applied for that, found out I really don't like marketing all that well. And so I left the business for a while, got into manufacturing. I lived in Detroit and I worked in as a data analyst in automotive manufacturing. And then as I was doing that, I realized what was right under my nose with Falcon was being able to be a part of a manufacturing company and be in the same manufacturing company every single day, day in and day out, and make an impact. And that's really what I wanted to do versus being in all of these different manufacturing businesses. I really wanted to have an impact in one area. So I was a year into my stint in Detroit, and I looked at the Falcon website, and I saw there was an opening for a position in Tennessee, and I applied for it. And they called me, and they were like, "Hey, Jen, is this a joke? Or, you know, what's going on? Are you really applying for a job in Tennessee?" And we thought we were in Detroit doing this other stuff. And I talked to the plant man or the production manager there at the time, and I said, "No, this is real. I really want to get back to Falcon." And I'm like, "Interview me. If I'm not the right person for the job, please don't hire me." I was interviewing for the production manager role, and he was going to move into the plant manager role. And so I really had no managerial experience prior to that, or very little, I should say. And so I told them, I said, "If I'm not the right person for the job, don't hire me. Don't tell anybody about it. Don't tell anybody that I applied. In case I'm not the right person, you won't feel bad. I won't feel bad. And we can move on with our lives." And so he interviewed me, and he interviewed four other people, and he called me, and he said, "You know, I'm going to offer you the job, and I'm going to offer it to you because not because you know your experience, but because you know the business, and I think you'll really work hard." And so he took what I said seriously and interviewed a collective of us. But I still don't know if he gave it to me just because he wanted to, or if I was the right fit. But he took a chance on me, and so I moved to Tennessee for a year, and that's how I got kind of back into the business in a more serious way, and really decided that this was something I wanted to do long term. So it worked out well, and gave me an opportunity to see. I had worked in Madison and Brookings throughout college. I worked in Madison third shift, and I worked in Brookings on a number of different ways, and shifts as well. But that really gave me the opportunity to learn the Tennessee team more, which served me so well in my roles as director of operations, and in my role now. I feel a connection to that team that I wouldn't have felt maybe as strongly without being there and being a part of that team. So
I love that part of your story and how under the radar you were and you wanted to be, and you really wanted to prove yourself. And if I recall, your father, who was leading the company, didn't even know you applied for the job.
No. Guy and Jay, neither one of them knew. Nobody knew except for that team and myself. And I wanted it to be that way. I think there can be a lot of pressure for employees, especially when you're dealing in a family business, to try to help make, you know, the next generation successful. And I didn't want it to be like that. Like I said, I didn't necessarily grow up around the business. It was always something that my grandpa and my dad and my uncle were doing that I was very proud of them for. But I guess I didn't see the opportunity for me to be a part of that. And that wasn't due to anything that the three of them, you know, they've always seen my potential, and they've always pushed me. And especially my Uncle Jay has always really believed deeply in me and my ability, and my dad, of course, but he's biased, right? But and my grandpa too, and they've always seen the benefits of women in business, and really pushed me and pushed me to do what I want to do. But so I didn't want to put anybody in a bad position. And if I wasn't the right fit, I didn't want them to hire me for a job just because I was third generation. So
there's a few directions we can go with that part of your story you just shared. I'll start off with you were Jen Bender at that time, and Bender is the family name of Falcon Plastics. And for many years, you were Jen Bender. Now you're Jen Barland, as you've gotten married and started your own family. We call that, you know, that's your superpower, because nobody really knows you're a Bender, you know, from the outside
in. I love it.
Yes, which is great. Talk about being Jen Bender and now transitioning to Jen Barland, and what that name and the family name has meant to your journey.
Yeah, it's so unfortunately, I'm so proud. I'm so proud to be a Bender. I'm so proud of what my grandpa and my father and my uncle have done. I'm so proud. But unfortunately, as a female in business, when there's a lot of individuals who will look at you and say, "Oh, you're a Bender. That's why you're in the role you're in." And I got that more times than I could count, being a young female leader who's also a family member. The odds are stacked against you, right? I mean, you look at, and Kyle and I have talked about this as well. Kyle and his role, when you speak to a male who's a family member, it's like, "I am so proud of you for following in your father's footsteps," right? That's what he gets. But what I get is, oh, that's why you're in the role you're in. And so, and he's very empathetic towards that as well. But it's just, it's the nature of the beast. And so I've really, not that I'm not proud of my last name, but I like being Jen Barlin, because the first response to me isn't, okay, I understand now. It's, I'm going to get to know you and understand your capability without knowing that you're part of the family business. And so I've done a lot of coaching over the years. I've always called my dad Guy, and to a fault. I mean, even on Easter, it's like, hey, Guy, you know, so even in a family setting. But I never call my dad work, dad at work. He's always Guy. And I've really made that an important part of my journey to not, to be professional in a professional setting, right? And so he needs, I joke with him because I'm like, if you could not introduce yourself and then say, I'm Jen's dad right after, that would be really great. I'm really trying hard here to make an impact and prove myself. And so he's had some coaching over the years, and I noticed recently he's starting to slip up again. We'll have some customer meetings and I'll pull him aside after and say, that's my daughter. And then I'm like, okay, Guy, let's give him a chance here to meet me and understand my capability first. But yeah, it's such a difficult thing, because there's so much pride attached to the Bender name and to my family name. But at the same time, unfortunately, it can have some negative connotation to it too. So it's been an interesting journey.
You've embraced it well, and you've evolved throughout time. And I appreciate that perspective that you share too. I think leaders, young leaders, need to hear that. People who are next gens trying to figure out what their role and what their place is. So I'm very thankful that you shared that story, and especially you're being a woman in leadership in what's been a male-dominated industry, and you really proving yourself and showing we can do this, and we are growing, and we have a great team around us. It's you, it's your cousin, it's non-family employees, and you're getting a lot of mentoring along the way too. And I think that that's important to note. You mentioned your relationship with your Uncle Jay and how that's been really influential to you, and I think to him as well. And you also are part of a national industry group. Talk about how you're getting mentored.
Yeah, that's so important to everybody, right? It can be really easy to say, I'm the expert and I'll help everybody else, but I've never felt that way in my career. I've always been really open to learning, especially from others, right? Why go through something if someone else has already gone through it and can provide you with some help and some information? And I think that's what's really important about the peer groups that you, Prairie Family Business, has set up, because it allows you to connect with others at your level, or, you know, who are in positions above you or below you, but all maybe have a common theme of being family members and what that looks like. And so for me, Prairie Family is a huge network for me that way. And I also, yeah, like you mentioned, Manufacturers Association of Plastic Processors, that's MAP, is kind of our industry group of experts. And so it's a group of 500 plus plastic molders similar to us. I sit on the board for MAP, and that provides me with a great deal of mentorship with all of those individuals that I get to frequently connect with, as well as just others in that group that I get to connect with as well. So MAP is something that I'm really connected into and have mentors. We have a consulting group that we work with at Falcon Plastics called Harbor Results. I have a number of different mentors through Harbor Results. I have mentors that I've connected with in various different ways through MAP Association, or through a number of different networking events that I've been able to be a part of, that I've just asked for help along the way and set up regular meetings with. And so I just think that's really important, right? Never stop learning. We're never to the point where we can just wipe our hands clean and say, we're done. We know it all, right? You can learn something new every day. And so I just feel really passionately about being a part of those peer network groups, or being a part of associations that can connect you with people in similar situations as you, to help you kind of navigate and learn how to do things better. So
it's what we say often at Prairie Family Business Association, which is you don't know what you don't know. And that's why you keep showing up to learn and engaging with other people who are in business with family and are trying to make successful transitions generationally. And I think that's especially true and telling for your own family, because you've been a part of Prairie Family Business Association for three generations, for all 32 years of our history. And how cool is that? That you keep showing up and saying, we have not arrived. We will never arrive. We are still figuring it out. And we have a lot to learn to make this a generational business and to have this last for the next 50 or 100 years and carry on the legacy that your grandpa and grandma started. Pretty special to be in that position.
Oh, absolutely. And how special to have an association to help us with that, right? Because we wouldn't be where we are without Prairie Family Business. I mean, just the amount of resources and networking and bringing people together with, the common theme of family business is so, so special. It's something that not every family business has. So I feel very thankful to be a part of it.
We do too, Jen. Thank you. When we talk about leadership, we talk about mentoring, and when you think about where you and Kyle are as cousins, third generation, you're running day-to-day of Falcon Plastics, and you still have great influence and insight from Generation 2 in Jay and Guy. You also have an advisory board. Talk about how that has helped develop your leadership, you as a leader, and how they help influence or mentor you.
Oh, gosh. Our advisory board has elevated us to another level. I mean, just, having a family business has a lot of challenges that go along with it. And, you know, in the sense that you're running a business with your family members, and what can that mean for accountability and just it can just be challenging, right? And I don't feel like we have those issues as a family, but they can be there. It can be hard to look at, you know, across the table at your dad, your uncle, your cousin, whoever, and say, hey, look, things need to change. But it just elevates us because we put industry experts around the table with us. We have, on our advisory board, we have one of our material suppliers. So every single board meeting, he comes prepared with material market updates for us that apply across the board to our business. We have someone from our consulting team that sits on our board who goes in and out of other molders and manufacturers every single day. And so to have him there to provide value in helping us become a world-class molder, which is what we want to become, and push us that way. And then we have someone who is in a similar business to ours, but a different material. So he's in the middle side. But he is double the size of our business, and he's second generation in his family business. So to have that expertise as well of, you know, here's where we've been, here's where we are, and that's where we want to go. It's just been invaluable to have those individuals sitting around the table. And like I mentioned, just the accountability that they drive. We call ourselves edgy at Falcon, which to us means always happy but never satisfied, right? So we're always happy, but we always want to do more. We want to learn more. We want to, you know, we have goals that we want to achieve. And so to stay edgy, to have those people sitting around the table to really challenge us and look at us. And, you know, it's easy when it's your business and it's your baby to say, oh, but things look really great, when maybe they don't. It's been hugely invaluable, and it's really driving us in the direction we want to take the business. So
we know how important those boards can be to that generational success. And research shows it's one of the top three indicators of family business success is having a board in place. One of our sponsors, Generation 6, has done a lot of thorough research on that topic. A board, along with family meetings and strategic planning, indicates that you are on the road to success and you're going to make this work. And so I applaud you for having that put in place. And I know you do a lot of the others as well with your family meetings, those who are in the business, and with shareholders who are not in the business, as well as the strategic planning that you and your executive team put forth. So keep that up. We know how that will help you get to the fourth generation and beyond, which is pretty incredible. When you talk about working day to day with your cousin, leading the business day to day with your cousin in third generation, it's what so many families strive for. Let's get to the cousin consortium. Let's get to that cousin generation. And you're living it. Tell us what that's like in terms of relationship and leadership.
Yeah, I mean, I could see how that could be really challenging, right? You have, you know, with brothers or with Guy and Jay, I think, you know, initially maybe there was, you know, some bickering and things of that nature. But then when they really figured out how to work together and move forward and that they both had the same goal in mind and how do they make that work and how do they communicate effectively, I think that really was where they found their success. And so I can imagine that most third generations, similar to where Kyle and I are in a position of cousins, could be challenging, but he and I have different strengths. And I think that plays so well together. So, you know, we really do a lot to play off of each other's strengths, and we try to communicate as much as we can, which is always important in every aspect of business, but especially, you know, when you're leading the business as family members, communicating that way. And then just having a lot of respect for each other, right? So making sure that we're aligned as we move forward strategically and with the vision of the business. And I think there's a lot of respect between Kyle and I. And so having that respect, communication, and shared vision is something that I feel very fortunate to have. And I think that's how we've been successful so far. So hopefully we can continue forward.
I think that's so important that you each have your own lanes that you stay in, but yet you collaborate when decisions are needed, and you each have your own strengths, and you know each's roles and responsibilities, which often doesn't overlap, but when it does, you're able to communicate and make decisions effectively. When you talk about the future, what excites you about the future of Falcon Plastics? What's your dream? What's your vision as president of Falcon Plastics and as a third generation owner and leader?
I'm just excited that Falcon is where it is today. Just knowing, you know, how it all started and how we've gotten here. And I'm just excited to continue the growth. For me, it's being recognized in the industry. You know, for the longest time, I was so sheltered. I have a funny story about this. You know, I worked in Detroit, and, you know, or this was prior to working in Detroit, so I wasn't as exposed to a lot of different manufacturing outside of what I already kind of knew. But I attended this industry event, which I'm still a part of. I'm a part of an executive forum with others that are in the same role that I'm in. That kind of helps mentor me as well. At this point in my career, it was probably 2015, and I was a lot younger, and I was kind of trying to figure out what I wanted to do, and this was before I moved to Detroit. And so I went to this industry event and sat down with 20 other people who were in similar roles to me and plastics manufacturing. And, you know, we were introducing ourselves, and I was like, I'm Jen, I'm from Falcon Plastics, a really small injection molder out of South Dakota. And one of the gentlemen who coordinates this and pulled me aside after, and he's like, Jen, just so you know, Falcon Plastics is not a small molder. And he's going around the room telling me, you know, the size of all these other businesses. And I'm like, I had no idea. I just thought we were this small family business. I had no idea. And so just to see Falcon develop as this world-class molder, right? I don't think we're there yet, but just this trusted molder in the industry is so exciting. And that's what I want to continue to build on. How do we set the standard? How do we set the bar high? And how do we, you know, continue to sell ourselves? Because really that's what it's about. I don't want our sales team to have to go out and pitch, you know, that we're the best. I just want it to be known. You know, we do good. We have good quality, and we deliver parts on time. That's what I want to be known, and I want it to be word of mouth marketing. I don't want to have to pay for it. You know what I'm saying? I just want to do good work and have that work come back to us. And so I'm excited for how we can grow and how we can help change the industry. And our executive team is excited about that as well. So
I think that really plays into your values. And that's one thing that I want you to share in. You're in manufacturing, and you are running three shifts, 24 hours, correct?
Uh-huh.
And yep. That's not an easy business. It's a lot of hard work, and you need a lot of good people to make that work happen. And manufacturing is the top industry that we serve within our membership of Prairie Family Business, of family-owned businesses. Tell us about the Falcon family and how you make your impact when you're walking through the plant floor.
Yeah. Well, so for me, the people at Falcon are really the reason why I wanted to be here long term, right? Aside from this being a prideful thing that I think I was very proud of my grandpa and my dad and my uncle, being a part of it and building relationships with the people who are here is why when I moved to Detroit, I thought, you know what, there's something really special about Falcon. I should go back to that and revisit that. And so that's my strength. When I talk about Kyle and my strengths are really around relationship building and the people side of things. So I think I'm an empathetic person. And so for me, Falcon has to be something deeper than just somewhere I go every day to work and then, you know, clock out and go home. And I don't want that. For me, it's building relationships, and that's at every level of the business, right? So when I go visit the facilities or when I walk the floor here, if there's someone I don't know, I want to know their name. I want to know their story. That's impactful to me. I want to know these people who are, you know, in and out of these doors. I don't just want someone to come to work and say, oh, that's the president. I don't know her. I've never met her. That's not who I am. That's not what I want to do. And so for me, building those relationships is fulfilling to me, but hopefully to my employees too, to just know and understand that they do really hard work, and I appreciate that. And it's not easy to come in and be on third shift and work, you know, be away from your families and all that. And so I just really appreciate everything everybody pours into Falcon. And I want them to know that. And I want them to know that this is, you know, I want it to have purpose for them too. So maybe they don't like me coming to talk to them. Sometimes they'll tell me like, Jen, you're distracting me. You know, I try to always help them, whether we're packaging parts or things, but they'll give me a hard time too and say like, don't put any bad parts in there. My name's on that, or, you know, that's the Falcon family, right? Is being able to, them feeling comfortable enough to tell me like, I don't want you to help me on this because I don't want any bad parts or, you know, give me a hard time. Or, you know, I worked third shift. I was 9 months pregnant in December and I went in and worked third shift for all the meals and stuff like that. And it's like, I Love Lucy, right? Where she goes and works at the chocolate factory and all the chocolates are piling up and she's shoving them down her shirt and whatever. And that's like me when I go in and help sometimes and I'm on a new job that I haven't run before. And people are so quick to run over and help. And it's just, that's so cool. That's something bigger than just shipping out plastic parts every day, right? Building those relationships and giving people more purpose than just punching in and punching out.
That's leadership right there, Jen. Thanks for sharing that example. And I understand you have a higher than average percentage of females on your shift, on with your hourly employees and your shifts. And I think that says a lot to you and your leadership team and what you've created, the environment and the culture that you have created along with your family. So keep it up. I can't wait to watch where Falcon Plastics goes in the future and your leadership, Jen. We've moved to the part of the podcast where we're going to talk about the Family Business Five. We have five questions that we ask all of our guests. So to start us off, what's a book that's greatly influenced your life?
Oh, gosh. Crucial Conversations is the first one that comes to mind. I think it's important. It's just communication is always on everybody's list of things we can do better, right? You can always, just similar to what we talked about earlier, learning should always be something that we continue to strive for. And I think communication is something that we can always improve. And so Crucial Conversations, I think being a relationship person and being someone who, thrives off of building relationships and communicating. And in my role, too, as president, right, you have to have a lot of critical conversations. And so learning how to navigate those in a way that's not stressful to any of the parties involved, and provides a safe space, I think is so important for anybody in any role and just in life in general. And so Crucial Conversations is a book that I refer back to frequently. But there's a number of other books that I really enjoy as well. So
We talk about it being the Goldilocks effect. We had a program on that where you can't have too much conflict or no conflict at all. You got to find the happy medium where there's some give and take, but conflict is healthy. It is good.
Exactly.
Through your involvement with Prairie Family Business Association, what program or experience has stood out to you and been extremely impactful?
So we did the retreat in 2020, I believe was, fall 2021. Okay, sorry. Those years all kind of blur together for me. So fall of 2021. And that, I think, was super impactful to us as a family. I think a lot of times in family business, the generation who is primarily running the business or in charge can put off having those conversations about transitioning, what that looks like, or involving the next generation in that. And I'm not saying that happened. I'm not saying Guy and Jay were keeping anything from us or not. It's just you get busy and you maybe don't sit down and have that time to have those conversations, right? And so being able to go on that retreat, be with other families who are going through the same exact thing and have open, critical conversations like we just talked about, when you're away from all the distractions and with your family and at this beautiful place where you can just kind of relax and have those conversations without having any worries or any stress about, you know, things being confidential, and have resources there to help you through those conversations, is really critical. And so that, I think, I haven't been involved in anything with Prairie Family Business that hasn't been beneficial to me, but that is the one thing that stands out in my mind as a really big turning point for us in planning our future transition.
And I understand 2.5 years later, here we are, and there's still to-do items that you're crossing off your list from that experience. It doesn't ever end, and there's always something to keep moving forward on. And I give you a lot of credit for getting that list together and holding each other accountable for getting done what you need to in your transition to make sure it is successful. Looking back on your family business and on Falcon Plastics, what do you most attribute your success to as a business or a family? What are you most proud of?
Well, I think I'm proud of, personally, I think what I just talked about, how I developed those relationships in my team and being able, Don taught me a lot about that. He is very similar to how I am and very people-centric. I tell this story. Raven Industries was an owner of Falcon Plastics initially when they got started. They helped Don and Carol get started with the business. And when Don went to sell the business, Raven had asked him to do some things that would, you know, maybe weren't what Don wanted with the business and some individuals and people. And, you know, as that goes, when you sell a business, changes happen and that's okay. But, you know, Don really reflected on that. He was going to go sell the business outright. And when he came back from that meeting, he owned the business completely, right? Because to him, when he started it, it wasn't a family business. It was something he just wanted, a business venture that he just wanted to do and was going to eventually get out of. But I think when really he was had the decision to be made, you can go down this path or you can stay on the path that you're on and own all of Falcon and continue this forward as a family business, he really reflected on what do I want, and that presented itself hit between him and Carol. Their values really align around the people and taking care of the people. And so I think leaving that meeting, he thought, you know what, this is something bigger and I need to continue on with this. And so very cool story. But Don, yeah, was also a relationship builder too. And I'm very proud of that because I hope that does give our employees something greater to work for, gives it more meaning, makes it more personal. I really do. When you ask me about what I lose sleep at night, it really is our employees, right? How do we continue to make sure that we can keep everybody here employed, and how do we better serve them, right? They're serving us every single day. How do we better serve them? That's really important to me. And I think that's ingrained in Falcon and the Bender name as well, is take care of your people. They take care of you. You better take care of them. So
that's a great lesson learned from your grandparents, Don and Carol. What a turning point in the history of Falcon Plastics that that meeting with Raven Industries produced, and it's why you're here today.
Yeah, absolutely.
Who is someone from outside your family business who has been instrumental to your success?
Yeah, so I mentioned earlier that I worked in Detroit for a business called Harbor Results. There's two individuals, actually the two owners of Harbor Results, Lori Harbor and Scott Walton. They have both been instrumental in my growth and my career, both personally and professionally, getting me to a point where I can step into a role like this at a young age and be successful, right? And so, I talk about frequently that you have mentors and then you have sponsors, right? Mentors aren't interested in getting anything back from you. They're just interested in, I want you to be successful. I want to help you be successful. Sponsors want you to be successful and they want to help you be successful, but they want a return on their investment, right? They're like, I need you to do this. I need you to be successful. And they're willing to pour everything into it. And so Lori and Scott are both sponsors for me. They push me really hard, harder than any of my other mentors, which I really, really appreciate, because sometimes in a family business, your dad and your uncle might not push you as hard as you want to be pushed. And so having those people on your bench that can get up and stand behind you and say, I expect this out of you, is really cool in my opinion. And so the accountability wise, they hold my feet to the fire every time. And it's been really, really critical for me and my growth.
What great relationships and those people who really believe in you and know your abilities and what you're capable of. What's a lesson from a family member that's really stuck with you? You've shared several throughout our conversation. What is one that you would say, this conversation, this lesson with my family member, I reflect on often?
Yeah, I think there's a lot. I think I'm very similar to my grandma Carol, an alpha female, I'll call it. And so there have been a lot of lessons in life that my grandma Carol has taught me, that apply to both business and to life, that I think are very meaningful to me. And so, you know, she always made sure that the family business didn't divide the family, right? And so that's something in my family business journey that I've always carried with me, that I never want the business to come between the family. I'll tell you a funny story too. Another lesson learned from Grandma Carol. She was a very proper, very poised woman. When we were in school, she would take us out shopping one day a year. Before school started, she'd buy us a first day of school outfit, and then she'd take us out to lunch and she'd teach us manners. How to, you know, eat, where the forks and the spoons go. She would just teach us basic manners, which was awesome. I mean, you think about it, who teaches your kids that these days? If it's not you, who's helping them with that, right? And so I always just held her on this really high pedestal. She did it all. She was a wife. She was a mother. She helped with the business. She was very poised, and always, yeah, very, just a very put together woman. And so she was having a dinner party one night and I was at her house and I opened the garbage and I noticed that there was a Stouffer's lasagna box in the garbage. And I just got done telling her how much I liked her lasagna. And I opened it and I said, Grandma, is this Stouffer's lasagna that you're making? And she's like, work smarter, not harder. And so I just always take that with me, that you don't have to be this, you know, you may put this person on a pedestal and they may be everything, but just work smarter, not harder. And I apply that to all areas of my life. With being a mother too, with my kids, it's like, how do I capitalize on my time with them? Make a Stouffer's lasagna. Yes. You don't have to make lasagna from scratch. Your kids aren't going to love you more because of it. So I think that's an important lesson too.
I love that lesson. That is a great one. Thank you so much for sharing your experiences on leadership and third generation in your family business. Jen, this has been a delight. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Stephanie.
Welcome to the Family Business Connection, and we're here to talk about one of our most requested topics in our inaugural episode, which is leadership. We hear that family business owners and next-gen leaders, they want more information on leadership wherever they are in their journey, whether they are a seasoned family business owner or whether they're just starting off as a young professional. So that's what we're going to talk about today. We have Kyle Bender, the Executive Vice President of Falcon Plastics. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Tell us, what is Falcon Plastics?
So Falcon Plastics is a custom injection molder and blow molder. We've been in business for almost 50 years now. Started business in Brookings, South Dakota by my grandfather and grandmother, Don and Carol. That's G1. And then they passed on the reins of the business to two of their sons, Jay and Guy. And now we're in the third generation. My cousin and I, Jen Barland, are now in the managing positions of the company. But we have four facilities across the United States. Mentioned Brookings, South Dakota, that's our headquarters. Madison, South Dakota, Lexington, Tennessee, and Tigard, Oregon, which is a suburb just south of Portland. In addition to that, we have two-thirds ownership in a facility in Suzhou, China. We all do the same thing. We all do injection molding. Some of the facilities do blow molding, but our main core is injection molding, and we really try to provide a service to other manufacturers. So our parts might be just a piece of the puzzle for their grander assembly that they would then sell to a final customer and get that out in the marketplace.
Really interesting business and something that you have your mark on in a lot of this world and a lot of what we do day to day.
Absolutely.
I think it's really telling that you started from the ground up. You were a paper shredder.
Yeah.
And that served you really well. Talk about that.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's kind of the running story is Jen and I, when we were asked, you know, what was your first experience at Falcon Plastics? I think I was 8 years old and she was 6 years old. We would come in a couple days a week with our dads and we'd shred paper. And that was, you know, back, you know, before the time when everything was electronic, you know, emails were kind of just coming along. And but so there was everything was paper copies and it was confidential. So it had to be shredded. You know, I don't know that we even have a paper shredder in the company anymore. So we'll have to find something for the G4s to do for their first job. But we started paper shredding. We'd come in, we'd get 25 cents a bag. And so we'd work for about 4 hours, earn a few dollars, and then we'd get dropped off at the bowling alley and we'd waste all our money. And it was great. But after that, you know, once we started to get, you know, to a point where we could actually perform, you know, more meaningful tasks, my first, I'll call it paycheck job, where I wasn't just getting paid, a quarter here, a quarter there, was in maintenance. And so I would go around and I'd clean all the bathrooms and I would clean people's offices. I would take apart their computers and blow out all the dust. And that was, you know, I'd work, I think I was working maybe 8 hours a week. I mean, I was 14. And so it was still pretty new for me, but my paychecks were like $35 and I thought I was like the richest person in the world. And so I was, you know, living the life back then. And then as I got a little older and was able to take on more tasks, I worked in the assembly line. I wasn't old enough to run machines yet, but I could assemble parts. And so I would work every summer. I'd have a, 8-to-4 job, 5 days a week, for 3 months. And that would be my spending money for the school year. And so it was really interesting. And that's maybe where my passion for the business and the industry started, was when I really started to understand what we do. You know, some of the products that I would help assemble, you know, the next day I could go to Walmart and see them on the shelves and say, hey, I might have done something with that. And then when you get deeper into, you know, understanding some of the products we make, you see them in your everyday life. And you're like, I might have done something with that. And it gets really interesting. And that doesn't tick for everybody, but it certainly did for me. And I think it did for Jen. And that's probably why we're here today. But when I was 18, I was eager to get to go work on actual machines. And I worked third shift, which is midnight to 8. And I chose that. I did not get asked to do that. That's an interesting timeline to work. I don't know that I could do it now, but different time. You know, I was just out of high school at the time, didn't have a family, not very many responsibilities. And so it was fun to do that, fun to be able to work that shift, fun to be able to, you know, work on the machines. And then when I got into college, I was in the maintenance department, so I'd help fix things, you know, not necessarily cleaning, but it was more of a fixing role. You know, when things break, I'd be the one or one of the ones to go out and try and fix it. And then during college, I kind of branched off. I didn't work at Falcon for a few years, had my own work experiences. But after I graduated, I came back to Falcon. That was my first job out of college. I know I mentioned I graduated with a business degree. My father's an engineer though. And so when I graduated and said, "Hey, I'm looking for a job," he said, "Oh, well, we have an opening in the engineering department that has your name on it." Mm-hmm. And so I came into the engineering department and immediately took 6 months of extensive engineering courses. it was really interesting, and it got me a good knowledge of what our engineers do. And I don't want to claim I can go out and do what they do because they're way better at doing that than I am. But I have a little knowledge of how to do what they do. And so it helps me with my job today to kind of understand what they're going through and understanding the processes that they have to follow in order to get their job done. Because it is, if you don't understand it, it is really simple to kind of think it's easier than it is. And it's not. It is very hard.
And at this point in your career, you've had a wide range of experiences throughout Falcon Plastics that probably really helps you relate to the employees. Mm-hmm. And the business decisions that you're making today as executive vice president in your role. And I'm sure it gives some appreciation to the employees around you that he gets it. He was once here.
Yeah.
I'm sure you're very grateful for that experience.
I am, absolutely. And we're proud at Falcon to have a lot of long tenured employees, you know, and that's for a lot of reasons. But they've got to see Jen and I grow up through the company. And so it would be pretty easy to maybe discount that and say, well, you know, I just remember you as a kid. But, you know, what they're remembering is I remember you working this role, and I remember you working this role, and I remember you working this role, kind of working your way up, obviously knowing what we were working for, but that we worked for it, and that we do understand all the different levels of the company and the challenges that go along with those.
Today, you operate with an advisory board, and that was put into place about the same time that you came into your leadership role, a similar time frame. Talk about what the advisory board does for you as a leader. Talk about that experience.
Yeah, so the timing of that was very intentional. You know, that was more of a my father and Jen's father plan was, hey, we want to pass this on. Now is the right time. But we want to put things in place to make sure that Jen and Kyle are successful. And one of those things was an advisory board. Prior to that, you know, we've always had a board of directors, but it's always been, you know, for I think 20 years, it was my dad, my uncle, and my grandpa. And they sat around a table once a year, checked a couple boxes, and it was back to business.
A typical start to a family business board right there.
Yep, exactly.
And then you took it to the next level. Yep. And matured that.
We did. And in that advisory board, we brought on three outside members. So we still have, you know, Jay, my father, Guy, Jen's father, Jen, and I are on that board. But we have three outside members who understand our industry and understand our business. We met a couple of them through our Manufacturers Association and had formed relationships with them many, many years before we even thought about having an advisory board. But when we did start this, there were two people we immediately thought of that we wanted on that advisory board. So one of them has a lot of experience in our industry, has ran companies similar to ours of, you know, many times the size of ours. So he understands what we're going through, what we're working towards, and the challenges that will present itself as we work towards that. One is a supplier of ours that has gone through a transition, not a family business transition, but him and his business partner had bought the company that he runs right now from the old owner. So kind of a similar transition, not a family transition, but he does understand transitions and he understands our market very well. So as a material supplier to us, which is our largest expense, he can give us a lot of insights on what the market's doing, you know, what we should be expecting in the next few months. And he does a really great job. He always says, I have to take off my company hat and put on the Falcon hat when I walk in this room and make sure I'm giving you advice that's best for your company, sometimes at the cost of mine. And so it's good to have board members that are willing to do what's right for your company. And then the third member we have was actually introduced to us by one of those board members, and he is a family business, or he runs a family business. He's G2, but some of the things that he went through from G1 to G2 are very topical in conversations to us. And so he understands, you know, number one, how to run a manufacturing business, but number two, how to run a manufacturing family business and how transitions are difficult and what you can do to, you know, take some of that difficulty out of the transition.
And I understand that one of them has been serving as a mentor to you, and another board member has been serving as a mentor to your cousin, Jen.
Yeah.
Talk about that relationship.
Yeah, so that was another intentional thing we did, you know, and it was just kind of, Jen had already had a relationship with one of these board members, and both of them, you know, both the ones in our manufacturing association, you know, we'd known them both for a long time, but she had already, you know, kind of had a deeper relationship with him because she worked for his company for a while. So after working at Falcon for a period of time in her professional career, she went to work for his company, and he wasn't her direct boss, but he still was a part owner of the company she worked for. So she knew him. And when he took on this role as an advisor, he also took on a role as a mentor for both her and I, but, you know, him and Jen spent a lot of time together. The material supplier, I had known him and his business partner, and even the person who they bought their company from, I've been connected with their family for a long time. And so he took on a role of being a mentor to me, just with the what his business is like and what he had to do to succeed in his business both before and after he had owned it, it had a lot to do with sales. And so him being able to give me tips, pointers, just kind of point me in the right direction of maybe different scenarios and challenges I was going through, it was really great to do that. And it was really fun because Jen and I first started taking over the company right kind of at the point when COVID was hitting the nation or hitting the world, really. And it was really tough to see anybody at that time. So him and I would have virtual happy hours every week, which was great. I think that was one of the coolest things to come out of COVID.
We're moving on to the part of our episode where we get to talk about the Family Business 5. And so we have 5 questions for you where we want to get your take on these 5 family business questions. So what's a book that's greatly influenced your life?
I was thinking about this question, actually, and I was kind of racking my brain. What is my favorite book that has influenced me and my leadership style? And I'd have to say it's The Art of War by Sun Tzu. And you have to read that in the light of this is a leadership book. And you can read it in a bunch of different lights, and it probably means something different in whatever mindset you go into reading that book. But if you're reading it as a leadership book, there's a lot of really valuable lessons to learn there.
The Art of War. That's one I'm going to have to check out. Keep my leadership hat on. Through your involvement with Prairie Family Business Association, what program or experience has provided the most value to you?
We talked about it earlier, but it's definitely the peer groups. You know, I'd say a close second would be the retreat, the family business retreat. That was a big deal for our family. But just given the length of time I've been involved with the peer group and the amount of growth I've had and my peers have had through that, certainly that's been the most valuable.
And it is for many others who participate in peer groups. Looking back on the history of Falcon Plastics, what do you most attribute your success to as a whole, as a company, or what are you most proud of?
I would have to say it's our culture. The culture that was first instilled by my grandfather and then carried on by my father and my uncle, and then now kind of put on Jen and I to continue to carry on, that's been a big part of our success. That's a reason why we have so many long-term employees. And I continue to believe that's why we're successful in business.
And in manufacturing, so important to be that way and to create that experience for your employees.
Yeah.
Who is someone from outside your family business who's been instrumental to your success?
It definitely our board members. But just beyond that, everyone that we meet at, you know, Prairie Family Business has been a big deal to us. There's a lot of people. It's tough to call any one specific person out, maybe Stephanie Larscheid, but even our Manufacturers Association, we meet a lot of people who are in our same industry. They're maybe not competitors because they're across the nation from us, but they truly understand everything we do, down to the pellet of plastic. And so it's fun to be able to communicate with them, network with them, share problems, find solutions. But there's just a multitude of different people. But if I had to dig down, those outside board members have been really important to us.
Boards can be such a huge contributor to success, fulfillment, accountability, vision building. It's great to hear. And our last question will be, what's a lesson learned from a family member that has really stuck with you?
It'd have to be from my grandpa. And it was when I was in high school. It's probably, you know, one of the main things I remember about him was he was trying to, you know, teach me how to be successful. And he said, you know, not everything that you need to do to be successful is going to be fun. But you still have to go out and do it. And so that's one of the biggest lessons I took from him, is it's not always going to be fun. And sometimes it's going to be really challenging. But if you want to be successful and you know it's the right thing to do, sometimes you just have to do it.
Very wise remarks from your grandfather. I like that lesson that stuck with you. Well, thanks so much, Kyle, for sharing your leadership lessons learned and journey with us. I know that there's some information here that other family business next gens or more senior gens can take with them and implement in their own family business and their life.
Yeah,
thank you so much.
Appreciate you having me.
Thanks, Kyle.
And on that note, we've reached the end of the episode. Thank you to Jen Barlin and Kyle Bender for sharing their experiences growing up in a family business and taking steps to prepare themselves as young professionals to lead Falcon Plastics. To learn more about Falcon Plastics and take a deeper dive into injection molding, visit falconplastics.com. We also have an article featuring Falcon Plastics' experience with Prairie Family Business and the programs they've found valuable, including affinity peer groups. Read the story at the link in the show notes. Want to learn more about areas your family business should focus on next? Take the Family Business Checkup. After answering several prompts, the Family Business Checkup will give you scores on the key indicators of family business success and point you in the right direction for what you should focus on next. The checkup is free and available at our website, fambus.org/resources, or at the link in the show notes. Thanks again for joining us today. Our inaugural season of the Family Business Connection will be 10 episodes featuring stories from all kinds of family business leaders that guide the family businesses to thrive for generations. Be sure to follow or subscribe to the show wherever you listen to podcasts. Thank you.